From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. And joining us on the phone is Jim Sayers. He's a councilman in the town of Bluff, Utah. And he's here to talk about Bears Ears National Monument, Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, and the recent visit by Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland down to the town of Bluff and her experience there. Jim, thank you so much for joining Nell and me on This Green Earth.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure. And Nell, I believe, yes.
Yes.
Yes, got that right.
Actually, if you don't mind, we'll first take a couple of minutes. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as councilman in the town of Bluff and with respect to this issue.
Sure. I first came to Bluff in 1980 as an elementary school teacher. I was hired in the local elementary school, and I've held property here since that time. I was on the original service area board that tried to do planning back in the 90s. I chaired that, and we were unsuccessful. We were trying to work through the county, and there was really very little enforcement or interest. So that sort of went away, that planning effort, but a few years ago, there were a group of people who were, you know, had come to Bluff and since 2000, and were very concerned about the about development. We see what's happening in some of the towns like Moab, and they initiated the incorporation effort, and it succeeded by about a 2-1 margin and in the vote. And since that time, we have a footprint of about 30. Square miles. It's very large for a small town of 263 people. But we have our town extends up Cottonwood Wash to the north toward the mountain. We felt that that really needed some protection for our aquifer, and that is our primary sort of imperative is hold on to and protect our water according to what the people in town want, according to surveys. But right after that is, of course, our advocacy for the controlled development. That is planned development, not anti-development, but planned development and protection of our role as a gateway to Bears Ears.
Right, because does the town of Bluff kind of abut the National Monument?
Very much so. We can see it, well, from the original 1.9, we can see it from our backyard. It's the Bears Ears is visible if from certain locations, and certainly Cedar Mesa is. And we're all aware that this is one of the most, in fact, it is the richest cultural landscape in the United States.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, too. What makes it so rich culturally?
Well, hundreds of years, six times longer than land as Europeans on, and there was a lot of extensive nature land that spread over this entire four corners.
Jim, we're losing your reception a little bit. Is there a different location you can stand in?
Yeah, this is common down here. I hope you can hear me better now.
We can. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's there were many thousands of people, many more people that lived on in San Juan County, 600, 700, 800 years ago than live there now, and live here now. And so they their life, their culture extended over a great deal of area because that's where the resources were. And so we see it all the way from Mesa Verde out to the west and clear to the south in Chaco. And you really, I worked on a seismic crew when I was very young out here, and you really can't walk a straight line in a mile around here without finding evidence of these cultures. So it's incredibly rich, and it really needs to be protected. There's a huge influx of people who want to see places like this, as we know, and it's increasing. We get a huge number of visitors. It's sometimes hard to find a campsite around Bluff, so we feel like we're on the right track and trying to protect this.
You know, I was just going to ask, of your 263 residents there, you know, what is the sentiment regarding the Bears Ears National Monument and, you know, expanding it to its original size or shrinking it or its presence at all?
Well, we'd like to have it expanded to its original size, and I think that would account for about two-thirds at least of our population. Most of our businesses are in favor of the expansion. We have three restaurants in town. Sometimes we have more, but COVID has put a dent in that. But we have tourist-oriented businesses here. And frankly, right now, that's where the dollars are, either in, you know, in services to those businesses or the businesses themselves. So the business community is solidly behind it. And I really feel like most of the people in town, I'm pretty sure most of them are behind it as well. You have to live here, and really a lot of the people who do live here are, we're kind of a little, if I may say so, we're sort of a little blue lake in a somewhat red ocean here. Mm-hmm. But that's the nature of Bluff. We are in favor of environmental protection for the most part here.
I'm curious, you know, this has been such a roller coaster with Bears Ears being designated and then, the, you know, the size being significantly decreased and now discussion of restoring it. How does the local community kind of, including that business community, adapt to this sort of like wildly changing path?
Well, you roll with whatever is going on when you're in rural Utah. It's always been somewhat boom and bust economies in many of these towns, so a lot of the towns, I think, are used to it. But we've seen this very steady increase in tourism regardless of the designation of the monument. So even with COVID, in fact, almost because of COVID, we've had, we probably were luckier than many communities because we had COVID refugees, and they did want services, even takeout, you know, when the restaurants were closed, that was going on. We're also cognizant that we're right on the edge of the Navajo Reservation. Our labor force in town, we rely completely on Navajo people coming into town and who live in town. They are part of the five tribe coalition, and we are solidly behind that group. This is the first time in our U.S. history that the tribes have come together in order to be granted a designated management role in government and in land. So they're in favor of the restoration of the 1.9, and we are too. We're behind the people, our neighbors. Bluff encompasses a large region. We feel we've got neighbors that are, they don't live in Bluff, but they're close.
We're speaking with Jim Sayers. He's a council person with the town of Bluff, Utah. We're talking about Bears Ears National Monument. And as Jim was saying, the kind of restoration or re-expansion of it in acreage from its original acreage established back in 2016. Let's summarize that quickly. Back in 2016, President Obama established roughly, did you say 1.9 million acres of land as a
Correct.
National man?
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Trump administration, let's say, shrunk that by 85% or so.
Correct.
So now is with the visit of Secretary Holland, Department of Interior Secretary Holland, to the area last week, is the talk to go back to 1.9 million acres?
Either that or some people are speculating greater. We don't really know what the discussions are, but We had a very sympathetic visit from Secretary Holland down here And she went to the, we have a Bears Ears Education Center here in town, which is a nonprofit. And she spent some time over there visiting with stakeholders, and she was clearly quite emotional. Many Puebloan people are. This is sacred land to the many of the Puebloan peoples who now reside in New Mexico, such as Deb Holland. So this is very important landscape to them, and she made that very clear. She was very emotional from what I've heard. I wasn't present, but she's really committed to finding a solution that includes a lot more protection than what we have right now.
Tell us a little bit more about the path of her visit. It sounds like she visited with some local stakeholders at the education center. Was she able to get out, you know, into the monument itself? Is that a place where she has visited before?
I don't know if she had visited there before, but the trip did take her to some significant places that were probably closer to the road than she really wanted to be. She is an outdoors person. She's a hiker. She knows what's going on. She's done that. But because of the constraints of time, they stayed, fairly within, close to the road. But these sites have been worked over. In other words, some of them have been looted, but they're still very impressive sites. And she's well aware that these sites exist. You know, there are just really thousands of these sites. It's very rough country. It's very difficult to negotiate this country when you're out off the roads into the canyons. It's really rough hiking, and you can find these sites everywhere. And she spent the day before in Blanding. She was down here, and she met at the Bears Ears Education Center. She also met in our town pavilion almost exclusively with tribal leaders, local tribal leaders, and with the Navajo Nation president, who are all in behind this idea of working to protect these cultural resources that are so important to them.
Well, I want to talk a little more about that concept of protection, because that's what designation as a national monument at least affords, more so than not being under the umbrella of a national monument. It offers some measure of protection of, in this case, these cultural artifacts. What kind of cultural artifacts are being looted, and basically, how does this happen? I mean, I know that sounds really simplistic, but it's literally people just going out to these, locating these spots and just taking, what are they taking or what are they doing?
Well, since the crackdown of the federal government in the last 20 years on the reselling of these artifacts, the really focused business of actually looting and reselling has toned down quite a bit. You don't see anywhere near the level of that. But some of these sites are very accessible, and they have been looted in the past. Now we're more in danger of the casual tourist who feels like it won't be too big a deal if they pick up a pottery sherd or a flake or a point and make off with it. It won't be missed. But you get enough of these folks out in the hinterlands, and it's not technically looting, but it is destroying the value, certainly the research value of these sites. And, you know, we're just getting a lot of pressure from tourism. People have discovered the West, as you're well aware, and we're not the only town. I mean, it's happening everywhere. We're seeing this pressure, and people have realized that the West is accessible. It's beautiful. It provides that solace of wilderness. It's easy to walk out into a place it has been easy to walk out into a place where no one is. It's getting harder. So, these canyons, even though they are very, inaccessible in some cases, they're really difficult to hike in, they are still getting these impacts. and getting increasing impacts. So while people might not like the National Monument designation, and some don't, we just feel like we need some better protection than none at all, which is what's going on kind of now.
Well, I'd say that's an interesting juxtaposition, because the preference is to leave the land as it is and invite people to experience the land rather than, say, support mining or other fossil fuel extraction activities. But like you're saying, Jim, at the same time, it has to be experience that is mindful with respect to the land and to the culture. And I will admit, when 30, 40 years ago, I was down in New Mexico, and we were a friend of mine and I were visiting a site, and I found a shard of pottery on the ground, and I picked it up, and I went to walk it over to my friend who was some distance away, and a National Park Service officer came out of nowhere and suddenly asked me, what are you doing with that? And then I proceeded to, yeah, exactly.
You were the one person that's ever been caught.
I was in trouble, yeah, potentially. And yeah. I explained, I was just holding it. But like you say, Jim, that is not allowed. You see it, but you're not allowed to touch it. Obviously, you're not allowed to take it off the site. But again, I go back to this idea of, like, you want more people to come and visit and experience this, but do it in a non-disturbing way.
Exactly. And it's largely it's an education. I mean,
yeah, I got educated real fast, Jim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, that's the goal here. Because again, the pushback, there are people who feel like this is overreach by the government to set aside 1.9, or even, like you say, suggested maybe over 2 million acres, when this land can also be utilized for mining purposes or logging purposes or development, et cetera, right? There are those people who believe that's the right path.
Well, the original 2016 set-aside was under the BLM, not under the actually National Park Service, so there are some conditions that make it a little bit easier as a national monument, a BLM national monument, that otherwise wouldn't exist. So there is access, for example, to traditional wood gathering. There is access for existing mining claims. There is access for grazing, largely. Mm. And some of the more richer uranium deposits, or believed to be uranium deposits and fossil fuel deposits, were excluded from the 1.9. So there was a long process of negotiation and examination before the Obama's original designation. So I think a lot of those claims of locking things up and so forth just don't hold water around here. What we're really looking for are these protection for these canyons and what exists in these canyons. They're just spectacular. It's just like nothing else to stand on the edge of one of these canyons and just realize how vast it really is, and then walk down or hike down and find a evidence of a very artistic and advanced culture down there, and the evidence is everywhere, and it's easy to see. So it's a tough call right now.
Mm. well, as we look forward, with your area once again in the national spotlight, what is next for Bears Ears? What are the next step in this process? And will Bluff be weighing in on that?
I think we have weighed in, and I think that the trend right now in the Biden administration is to I can't speak for Deb Haun. She's the one who's going to make this decision as to what advice she gives the president. But we're very hopeful that something will be done. This is important. This is the most important cultural, prehistoric cultural landscape in the United States. If this doesn't qualify for protection, you know, what does? And we've got this historic commitment by the tribes, the Five Tribe Coalition, so we're very hopeful.
Well, we've just got a couple of minutes left, so I want to make sure to ask, you know, if our listeners are interested in learning more about this or more about Bluff, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to the website of the Bears Ears Education Center, of the Friends of Cedar Mesa, FOC, or the Friends of Cedar Mesa. These are websites, and they have a really complete education center. They have some videos. If you're going to go hiking out there, a lot of people are stopping at the education center in Bluff, finding out where they could go to see what they want to see and enjoy themselves. And of course, a lot of these sites are along the San Juan River as well. So we're right on the San Juan River. It's a major tributary to the Colorado. So it's just an added feature that draws people around to this area.
Jim Sayers, he's a council person with the town of Bluff. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with Nell and me on This Green Earth this morning.
Thank you so much, Chris. Have a great day, and you too, Nell.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see you down there soon, I think.
You bet.
I hope so. Come on down.
All right. We'll ask for you, Jim.
Okay, I'll take you some.
All right, that's a deal.
You can have a good little hike. All right.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.